Welcome back. This is an intermediate Ableton Live sound design lesson for drum and bass. And we're going to build one of those super practical skills that instantly levels up your transitions. Resampled rave shots for fills. When I say rave shots, I mean the classic stabby chord hits, hooverish punches, crunchy orchestral one-shots, anything that feels like it came from an old rave sampler. In drum and bass, they're perfect for fills because they live in the mid-range, they cut through dense breaks, and they can add attitude without needing a huge riser or a big melodic rewrite. The core idea today is simple. Design one flexible rave shot in MIDI, add a little movement, then resample it into audio and do the real magic with chopping, gating, warping, and mix control. By the end, you'll have a small, reusable fill toolkit you can drop into any 170 to 175 BPM project. Let's set this up cleanly. Set your project tempo to 174 BPM, or whatever you're working at in that DNB range. Now create three tracks. First, a MIDI track called Rave Shot Source. That's where we design the sound. Second, an audio track called Resample Print. That's where we record our takes. Third, an audio track called Fill Edit. That's where we chop and turn the audio into fills. And set your global quantization to 1 bar for now. That keeps resampling tight. Later, if you're doing more performance resampling, you can switch it to a quarter note, but 1 bar is perfect for this workflow. Now let's build the rave shot source. We'll do it with stock Ableton devices so you can recreate it anywhere. On rave shot source, load Waveitable. If you prefer analog, it works too, but Waveitable is fast and flexible. For oscillator 1, choose a saw wave. Add a little unison, like 2 to 4 voices, and keep the unison amount in that 20-35% zone. You want width and energy, but you don't want it to turn into a trance pad. For oscillator 2, add a square wave, but keep it lower in volume. This is just for bite and edge. Now shape it like a shot. This is important. A fill sound that behaves like a pad will smear your drums. So in the amp envelope, go with a 0 millisecond attack. Decay somewhere around 250 to 450 milliseconds, sustain all the way down, and a short release, like 80 to 150 milliseconds. We want it to punch and get out of the way. Before Waveitable, add a chord MIDI effect. Set one shift to +7 semitones, and the second shift to +12. Instant rave triad vibe. And the cool part is, because it's MIDI, you can change the bass note and the whole character moves with it. After Waveitable, add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive it maybe 3 to 8 dB, and turn on soft clip. This is that printed density that makes a one-shot feel like it belongs in a loud mix. Optional but fun. Add redux after saturator. Use it lightly. Downsample around 2 to 6, and bit reduction somewhere around 10 to 14. The goal is crunchy attitude, not brittle fizz. Now, for the MIDI itself. Don't overthink it. Use a short note, like an eighth note. Try a mid note, like around F to A in the middle of the keyboard range. The teacher tip here is, if your rave shot's fundamental sits too low, you'll spend the rest of the lesson fighting your sub and kick. Midrange is your friend. Next, we're going to shape it so it actually works as a fill. Add auto filter after your distortion. Set it to band pass. Tweep the frequency until it sits and that speaks on top of drums range. A good starting window is 400 Hz up to about 2.5 kHz. Add a bit of resonance, maybe 0.7 to 1.2, and push the filter drive a couple dB if you need more bite. This is one of the biggest secrets. Fills don't need low end. In DNB, the sub belongs to the bass. Your fill's job is to create a moment, not to compete for the bottom. After that, add utility. Keep width reasonable, maybe 80 to 120%. If you're on live with bass mono, set mono below around 120 Hz. Even though we're high passing later, it's just good discipline, because clubs and mono playback will expose facey fills immediately. Now let's add movement, because resampling a static stab is fine, but resampling a stab that evolves gives you way more editing options. Add frequency shifter. Set it to ring mode and use tiny values, like 10 to 40 Hz. Mix it in at 10 to 25%. This is one of those barely noticeable but feels expensive moves. You're basically giving the shot a subtle metallic animation. Then add hybrid reverb for a short rave space. Choose plate or a room. Decay around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. High pass inside the reverb, like 250 to 500 Hz, and keep the wet amount low, like 8 to 18%. We're not trying to drown it. We're trying to give it a believable space that helps it feel like a real event in the track. At this point, your shot should feel like punchy, Mid forward, a little dirty, and slightly alive. Now we resample like a pro. On the resample print Audino track. Set Audino from to resampling. Arm the track. Go to arrangement view. Loop 4 bars where you want to capture material. And record a few takes. Here's your mindset. Each pass is a different print vibe, like you're committing different versions of the same idea. Pass 1. Keep it clean-ish. Minimal movement. This becomes your punch layer later. Pass 2. Push distortion and maybe shorten the decay so it's tighter and meaner. Pass 3. More reverb and an obvious filter sweep so you get that whoosh into the next section. And a really important coach note. When you record, aim for peaks around -6 to -3 dBFS on the printed audio. If you record too quiet, you'll crank processing later and it'll get harsh. If you record too hot, you'll lose transient options and everything becomes flat. Also, consider printing dry and wet simultaneously. Here's how. Duplicate your source chain or split it into two versions. One is dry and short, little or no reverb. The other is the FX throw version with the bigger space and movement. Record both. Later, when you build fills, you can blend them like parallel processing. Dry gives you punch and clarity, wet gives you hype and size. That one workflow alone makes your fills feel way more mix-ready. Alright, now grab your best printed audio and drag it onto Fill Edit. Now we do the fun part, turning it into actual fills. We're going to build three types. First fill type, the gated 16th burst. That classic rave machine gun moment that builds tension right before a drop. On Fill Edit, at a gate, adjust the threshold until it's cutting the tail in a musical way. We want short, controlled hits. Not long reverb smears. Keep return around 0 to 2 dB. Attack super fast, like 0.1 to 1 millisecond. Hold around 10 to 25 milliseconds. Release around 30 to 80 milliseconds. Then add autopan after the gate. Set the shape to square. Rate to 1/16. Amount somewhere between 60 and 100%. If you set phase to 0 degrees, it's a hard chop. If you set it to 180, you'll get an alternating stereo effect. Both are valid. The teacher tip is, if you go stereo alternating, check mono. Some clubs will punish you for being too clever. Now consolidate a one bar region so it becomes a single clip. Turn on warp. Use beats warp mode. Preserve at 1/16 and push transients to 100. This keeps it locked like it's part of the drums. Then slice it. Focus on the last half bar before a drop or a phrase change. Use 8th and 16th cuts. Find the tightest slice and repeat it 3 to 6 times. And here's a detail that makes it hit harder. Leave a tiny gap before the downbeat, like 5 to 20 milliseconds of silence right before the drop. That micro hole makes the downbeat feel bigger than just making the fill louder. Second fill type, the pitch dive stab. This is that mini yeet into the next phrase, like a micro riser but with character. In the clip view, automate pitch. You can start at +7 semitones and dive to 0, or even down to -5, over about half a bar. You want it to feel like it's falling into the next section. Then do a reverb throw. Automate hybrid reverb, wet from around 10% up to 35% on the last hit, and then hard cut it right before the drop. That cut is crucial. If you let the tail spill over the downbeat, you blur the impact of your drums. The classic move is, throw the space, then kill it, then let the drop feel dry and huge. Third fill type, the one-hit punctuation. This is the stamp at the end of 4 bars, 8 bars, 16 bars. Simple, but dangerous if you don't mix it right. Pick the punchiest transient from your resample. Add drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15. Crunch lightly, keep boom off most of the time, because we don't want sub-conflict, and push transients up, like +10 to +30, so it speaks. Then EQ8. High pass somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz. If it's too harsh, dip a little around 2 to 4 kHz. If it needs that rave bark, try a gentle boost somewhere between 700 Hz and 1.5 kHz. Now let's make sure these fills actually sit in a rolling DNB mix, because a fill that sounds amazing solo can completely wreck your drum clarity. First, sidechain the fill to the drums. Add compressor on Fill Edit. Turn on sidechain and feed it from your kick and snare bus, or even just the snare, if you want the kick to stay solid and let the fill weave around the snare groove. Ratio around 3 to 1 up to 6 to 1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds, till you keep the fills transient. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds depending on tempo feel. Aim for about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the drums hit. Second, keep the low end clean. High pass the fill more than you think you should. DNB is unforgiving down there. Use utility after IQ to keep width reasonable and mono below 120 if you have it. Here's another coach check. Phil should answer the snare. The snare is usually the lead instrument in DNB. If you mute your fill and the groove suddenly feels better, that's not a moral failure, that's information. Try nudging the fill earlier or later by 10 to 30 milliseconds, or thin the midrange a touch. The goal is conversation, not interruption. And consider making a fills bus early. Group your fills, route them all there, and put a simple chain on the bus, an EQ for global low cut and harshness control, a glue compressor doing just 1 to 2 dB on peaks, and a limiter only catching occasional spikes. That way, when you swap fills, the track stays consistent. Now, some quick advanced variations if you want to push it. Try triplet pressure, instead of straight 16th chops. Keep your phrase straight, then switch the last beat into triplet 16ths. That 1/12 feel makes the fill stumble forward in a really jungle-friendly way. Try the vacuum trick. Duplicate the printed shot, reverse it, fade it in, and cut it hard right before the forward hit. Do it over a quarter bar or half bar. It creates the inhale before impact. Try stereo call and response without phase issues. Make two slightly different shots, and B. Keep a mostly center and B slightly wider. Alternate them in a 16th pattern. It'll feel wide without relying on extreme stereo modulation. And if you want more snap on small speakers, do a micro layer, a tiny noise burst, high pass at 3 to 6kHz, super short decay like 30 to 80 milliseconds, mix very quietly. You're not adding a new sound, you're adding definition. Alright, let's lock this into a practice exercise you can actually finish. Build a 16-bar rolling DNB loop. Kick and snare, hats, and a bass phrase. Create one rave shot and resample 3 takes. Clean, distorted, reverb heavy. Then build 2 fills. 1. A half-bar gated 16th burst right before bar 9. 2. A single hit plus a reverb throw at the end of bar 16. Mix rule. High pass both fills at 200 Hz. Side chain both to the snare for about 3 to 5 dB of gain reduction. Then export a quick bounce and listen on headphones and speakers. The key question is, does the snare still lead? If yes, you've done it right. Before we wrap, a few common mistakes to avoid. This audio version is shortened for playback.